Good afternoon, and welcome to the National Collaborative on Childhood Obesity Research webinar session on the Catalog of Surveillance Systems. My name is Susan Krebsmith. I'm with the National Cancer Institute, where I'm the Chief of the Risk Factor Monitoring and Methods Branch. There I oversee a program of research on the surveillance of risk factors related to cancer, methodologic issues to improve the assessment of those factors, and issues related to guidance and food policy. I led the project related to the Catalog of Surveillance Systems along with my colleague Robin McKinnon, who is a health policy specialist in the Risk Factor Monitoring and Methods Branch. She works on research activities related to diet, physical activity, and obesity policy research, and as I said, she co-led the development of the catalog. She's going to be giving a demonstration and an overview of the catalog this afternoon, and following that, we'll hear from David Simmons, who is the physical activity and nutrition epidemiologist at the Minnesota Department of Health. He joined the Office of State Health Improvement Initiatives at the Minnesota Department of Health in June 2010. In that role, he monitors surveillance data related to obesity, physical activity, and nutrition in accordance with the Minnesota State Obesity Plan and the Minnesota Department of Health State Health Improvement Program. He's going to be talking about the catalog from a state and local health department perspective. Following that, we'll hear from Jamie Shariki, who is the Director of Policy Surveillance and Evaluation for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, supported Bridging the Gap program at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Jamie has over 20 years of policy research, analysis, and evaluation experience, with a particular emphasis on examining the impact of public health policies on communities, systems, and individual behaviors and attitudes. Jamie is a member of the Institute of Medicine Committee to Accelerate Progress in Obesity Prevention, and she has, and several of her colleagues at the University of Illinois at Chicago, supported NCI in its development of the Catalog of Surveillance Systems. And she'll be providing the researcher perspective and talking with us about how the catalog might be used for multi-level research. Following that, we'll have a short period of time available for some questions and answers. The National Collaborative on Childhood Obesity Research brings together four of the nation's leading research funders to address the problem of childhood obesity in America. This includes several divisions and centers from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, a number of institutes and offices within the National Institutes of Health, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and the United States Department of Agriculture's Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services, and Research, Education, and Economics divisions. The mission of NCORE is to improve the efficiency, effectiveness, and application of childhood obesity research and to halt and reverse the current childhood obesity trend through enhanced coordination and collaboration. So really the mission is to enhance research in this area, and that's what the catalog was designed to do. Recently, the NCORE has developed a new strategic plan for the this year and the years coming forward. And this plan included five major goal areas. All of these really relate to the use of, or the catalog of surveillance systems will help enhance these goal areas, but in particular, goals 2 and 3, to increase and improve national, state, and local surveillance of childhood obesity, and to increase the ability of childhood obesity researchers and program evaluators to conduct research and program evaluation. With that, by way of introduction, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Robin McKinnon.
Great. Thanks so much, Sue. Good afternoon, everybody. Good morning if you're on Pacific time. I'm going to be giving, as Sue mentioned, an overview and introduction, really, to the Catalog of Surveillance Systems itself. Just some background to this project. No surprise to folks here, but the interest in childhood obesity determinants has really grown from the individual level to social, environmental, and policy determinants also. Whereas previously, childhood obesity research has really focused on the individual level, but we know much less about this organization, community, and also macro level determinants of childhood obesity. We've also found that the awareness of the available data resources is somewhat limited among various groups. So there really is fairly broad and deep data resources available, and we want to be sure that people are aware of the breadth of resources that are indeed available. And relatively little research has incorporated data linkages across the ecological spectrum, from macro policy to community level and to the individual level, for instance. And so the problem that we're really trying to solve, the issues that are facing researchers and practitioners when they're faced with trying to locate data resources that may be helpful for them in their work, what data resources exist? What is out there? What are the costs associated with accessing these data? What variables can I link across systems? How do I access the data once I've found it? Where can I find more details about these specific data resources? So this is what we're really trying to solve with the catalog. Previous solutions existed, including a couple of paper-based catalogs, which had kind of a subset of what's available in the NCORE catalog of surveillance systems. One example was a paper by Bridging the Gap and the Impact Team folks. Jamie Shariki was one of the co-authors on that paper that was led by Sandy Slater, which looked at the environmental data resources associated with childhood obesity research. And then there were also nutritional-related catalogs, such as this one in particular, the National Nutrition Monitoring and Related Research Activities, which is several years old right now. So there were a few paper-based systems that were available. Additionally, people would often go back to using the same systems that they have been using for a while because people become familiar with those systems, which is understandable. Otherwise, people might, particularly graduate students or other folks, or if you're new to the area, might ask colleagues for advice or perhaps even use internet search engines to try and find surveillance systems with data that's relevant to childhood obesity research. So what we've done with the catalog of surveillance systems, we've created what we believe is the first ever online directory of obesity-related data resources, which right now includes 77 systems related to childhood obesity research, which provides information at the national, state, and local level. It also provides encouragement for data linkages and was launched 3 months ago in February 2011. In terms of the inclusion criteria, to be included in this catalog, the data resources needed to be relevant to childhood obesity research, data needed to be collected within the last 10 years, which is not to say that it's necessarily ongoing, the surveillance system, and there are a couple of examples of this in the catalog where the surveillance is not ongoing, but the system will contain data that has been collected within the last 10 years. Systems also need to provide publicly available data, not necessarily free. There are a few fee-based systems in the catalog, but certainly the data resources need to be publicly available in some form and also provide access to raw data, what we call raw data, that can be downloaded or somehow accessed by researchers and practitioners, also needs to be gathered in the U.S. And in terms of development, we had a rigorous development process where we had subject matter experts review each system before they were included, or multiple stages of review for the information about each of the surveillance systems, including review by a representative from each of the surveillance systems in the catalog. So somebody from the system itself has also reviewed the information. And we have a number of updates and inclusions, updates and additions that are ongoing. People should be familiar, may be familiar with this a representation here of the social ecological model of individual level behavior, all the influences on individual level behavior from household, school and community levels, macro policy, all seem to provide subtle influences on individual decision making. And so I have examples here of the data systems, and just a few examples of the data systems included in the catalog from these various levels. So as you would expect, we have diet physical activity information, but we also have information on household travel and traffic fatalities and community crime statistics and agricultural production. So the catalog itself allows you to identify and locate surveillance systems that you might be interested in. You can also search by topic. You can compare attributes across systems, access profile information, individual profiles for each of the each of the systems within the catalog, and also access other resources of interest, such as summary statistics and legislative databases. This is a screenshot now of the landing page for the catalog with the URL, ncor.org/css, and through the magic of our technology, I'm now going to share my desktop and provide you with a demonstration of the catalog. So right now you should be seeing the same image that you were seeing before, minus the URL in green down the bottom. And this is the landing page, as I mentioned before, the ncor.org/css. Now what I'm going to do is search for catalog, a big blue button here. And then, so what this brings up then is the main search function of the catalog of surveillance systems. What you're seeing here under the showing all 77 systems, this is a list of all of the data resources that are included in the catalog. And you could click on any one of these to bring up more detailed information about each particular system. And so on the left-hand side, we have various options to filter the what's being displayed in the middle here. So you may be interested, for instance, in disability issues. You see, if there's any particular text that you're interested in, you can type it in here. You can see that there are 8 systems in the catalog currently. 8 of 77 include information on disability. And actually, this gives me the opportunity to let everybody know that this is something we're in the process of updating right now. There's we've worked with our colleagues at CDC who have a particular interest in disability issues, and we'll be providing much more. We're just in the process of incorporating the information that they've sent through to us. So this should be a much expanded list, actually, if anybody's particularly interested in issues of disability. Now, you can also filter the catalog and on any one of these, under any one of these headings. We may, for instance, be interested in finding data resources at the individual level, national level data, with physical activity, weight-related variables in school-age children, for instance. May be interested in narrowing by racial or ethnic group. I won't click on any of these here. But another example we may be interested in is panel longitudinal data, because that can be particularly helpful to be assessing the same cohort of folks over time. As I mentioned before, it is possible to filter based on cost, but I won't do that for now. So this is filtered a list of 6 of the 77 systems that meets our search criteria. And you can see here on the right-hand side, there's a compare button. If I wanted to quickly see how these systems compare to one another, I could click on this compare button, and then you will notice on the right-hand side that it brings up what we call our comparison basket here. And I could continue to add systems to the comparison, or I could simply the bottom here, select all systems. Now I'm going to go to the top here and click on compare 6 systems, and what you can see is this will bring up this interactive comparison between the systems, so you can see at a glance how the systems compare to one another. And so you can see the ECLSB, the Early Childhood Longitudinal Study, the birth cohort, as you might expect, has younger age groups included in it in comparison to the ECLSK, the kindergarten cohort, which has slightly older children included in its study. Now, you can also delete out of the comparison any one of these systems, and just for demonstration purposes, just deleted the ECLSB. And then I'm going to go to the panel study of income dynamics, the child development supplement, PFID-CDS, to click on, or to bring up a profile, a demonstration of the profile that we have. And each of the 77 systems that we have currently has one of these profiles. So, and just to orient folks to the page here, we have information at a glance that comes up. We also have sampling, key variables, data access and cost, geocode linkage, selected publications, and other resources that are available. But at a glance, you can see the system website, the purpose of this particular surveillance system, its target population, when it was conducted, and how recently, the most recent years that it was conducted, who sponsors this particular surveillance system, and any special notes related to this particular resource. We also, on the right-hand side, have a box here of noteworthy characteristics. So most of the systems included in the catalog were not, the data was not gathered, or the system was not designed necessarily specifically for obesity research. But, of course, to be included in the catalog, it needs to contain data relevant to obesity research. And so with these noteworthy characteristics, we really try to pull out what's most noteworthy about each of the systems, or each particular system, for obesity researchers and practitioners. So this one, for instance, provides measured height and weight data, which is particularly helpful, and of course other things. You can see here, if something is highlighted in green, that means it provides a link through, so this is, I just clicked on PSID, this is, which has gone back to the panel study of income dynamics, and this is the parent to the child development supplement. I'm going to go back here. So if it's in green, it links to another profile in the catalog. If it's in blue, then it's an external link from the catalog. As I mentioned before, we also provide sampling information, sample size. You can learn more about sampling design if that's available. So really, and here we have key variable information on demographics, any diet-related variables, physical activity-related, weight-related, and geocode or linkage variables. And you can see here, if I click on show six more at the bottom of diet-related, this brings up all the diet-related systems, all the diet-related variables. In addition to the variables, we also provide methods of assessment. And this, as I mentioned before, can be particularly helpful to know if height and weight data is measured, for instance. I'm going to collapse this back. And go to data access and cost. Of course, if you've determined that this system is something that you may be interested in, then obviously you're going to want to know how to access the data and if there are any costs involved. So for instance, here the costs for the child development supplement for PFID or public data are free of charge. But you'll notice here that there are all, in addition, there are restricted data and there is a charge for that. So if there's any information like that, we'll try to make a note of it. We also provide information on geocode linkage variables and any examples, existing linkages, selected publications. This is not a comprehensive list of all the publications related using data from this particular resource, but should provide information or should provide just highlighted examples of some particularly helpful examples of these particular publications, or these types of publications that are using data from this resource. And then lastly, we also provide any other resources that are available, such as the documentation and codebooks, any other tools. So if you want to be linking data between systems, or for instance, these types of things vary between systems. There may be tutorial information. Sometimes there are PowerPoint presentations. I'm just going to click here on the tutorial link, so you can see that it provides these links externally to the system. So overall, I'll go back to this at a glance. You can see that what we're trying to do with this profile is provide, and the comparison feature overall and filtering, just enough information to help make it really easy to narrow down, and so you can locate the systems that you're interested in, but also be very clear about whether this particular data resource might be helpful for you in your work. And then if you've determined that, provide as much information so that you can go out and be as productive as possible using that particular system. But it's certainly not meant to replicate the entire website of each data set of each surveillance system. So I'm going to go back here to our comparison and to our list of systems. I'll clear our filter. The only other couple of things that I wanted to show you in the system itself is I'm going up here to the navigation bar, and we'll click on catalog feedback, where I'll reiterate this in a few slides actually, but we really welcome feedback on all aspects of the catalog. So I wanted to point that out. And then also this other surveillance resources tab. So the information in the catalog itself, all the systems that have profiles, as I mentioned before, provide you access to the raw data. Systems or resources that are provided here really provide summary statistics and other information, but that may be very helpful for obesity researchers and practitioners. So we include general information, like the USDA Farmers Market List. We also have the Food Environment Atlas from the USDA. We have Federal Nutrition Program information, legislative databases, and I'll click here on the Yale Rudd Center legislation database. So again, this may be helpful contextual information for researchers and practitioners. Okay, now with that, I'm going to go back to our slide presentation. I just have a few more slides here. On the catalog feedback and linkages, as I mentioned before, we welcome all kinds of feedback on the catalog, whether it's suggestions for improvement, for features or additional information. Also be extremely interested in any positive success stories, that if people have really found something, information they didn't know existed, we would love to hear that information also, but all feedback is very valuable. In addition, we would also welcome other web links. If you have a website, we are trying to disseminate the knowledge of the catalog as broadly as possible. So if you know of other people doing research in nutrition, physical activity, obesity, it may be appropriate, and we would welcome you setting up a web link on your website. And then also, NCORE just last week announced another product, the Measures Registry, which includes information on almost 750 measures, instruments, methodologies related to measuring childhood obesity. And that's available at ncore.org/measures. They're also having a webinar in 2 weeks' time, exactly 2 weeks' time. And to register, go to NCORE.org under events and then webinars. Now, the intended outcomes of the catalog, just to sum up, really what we're looking to do is increase awareness and use of the breadth of resources that are available to improve everybody's productivity so that everybody's not doing the same thing over and over again. Where do I go? How do I find this information? So we're trying to eliminate just this base layer of busy work and to get people on to doing the exciting research that we all need. We're looking to identify gaps, reduce redundancy, and really improve the effectiveness and the innovation in research, so ultimately that we can reduce rates of childhood obesity. And with that, I will turn back to...
We think that David has joined us now,
yeah.
And we introduced David a little bit earlier, and he'll talk to us about state and local health department perspective.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
David, we can hear you, but
okay.
Can you pick up?
Yes, I'm.
Ben?
I'm having some sort of event center message here that is telling me that it's not responding, unfortunately.
Well, I can advance your slides if you
okay.
would like to talk. I can.
That would be great.
Okay. So I have that slide up.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you could advance. So I missed my own introduction, but my next slide on my background, I think, describes my situation here. Let's see now. I'm honestly not seeing anything move on my screen, so I'm not actually being able to tell what slide you're on.
I'm on your slide 2 background.
Okay. That's all I'm seeing is the very first slide. Okay. Good to know. All right. Well, I am the epidemiologist for the CDC-funded obesity program here in Minnesota. The obesity plan was implemented in 2008. Along with that plan implementation was created an epidemiologist position to follow the indicators that the state plan created to measure the epidemiology of obesity in Minnesota and to follow indicators that would relate to the interventions that were developed and were being put in place at that time. That position, however, was open until last year, which means that when I moved over from Comp Cancer to this program, there was an awful lot to do. And the first thing was to just go back and track, get current on where the indicators were that were started in 2008, and to do an evaluation. So I guess, could we move to the next slide then?
Robin, I'm not sure. I think most people cannot see the slides moving.
Right, and I'm thinking that David should be able to advance his slides. You want to try again, David?
Well, I'm getting the classic hourglass on my screen.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting a thing that says setting up the event center, and I'm not being able to do a thing.
Okay. Whoever just changed it to the third slide, Robin, I just saw it change.
Right. So it looks like BJ, who's organizing this, is advancing the slide. So we're because several people sent messages in that they were only seeing the title slide. So sorry about that, David. But now you should be on your slide 3. BJ is advancing your slides.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that now all of a sudden my screen is free. So.
Okay. Well, just go ahead.
Okay. So now we're on the slide called My Charge, and I will talk through that and see if I can advance it. All right. So I think I was mentioning that my charge when I was hired into this new position was to evaluate the current system and to implement any changes to the surveillance system based on a sort of a mid-course review that I did in 2010. And then to, thirdly, accommodate a new state health initiative in the system. So let's see if I can actually get to my next slide here. Okay. Does everybody see the slide called the new normal?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So a year after the obesity plan was implemented here, the Minnesota State Legislature gave us $47 million to actually fund upstream prevention. Oh, everything just went away on my computer here. Okay. So we were given $47 million to fund upstream types of prevention, and they were, you know, because they were upstream prevention measures. I'm seeing all sorts of good things here on my screen now. Okay.
David, we can see your slides. So it says the new normal. I think they can go ahead and be advanced by BJ.
Yes.
So if you can just talk from a hard copy or something and tell her when to advance the next one.
Okay, that's what I'm doing. Actually, it looks like this thing is cycling back through. Now I'm back to seeing the new normal again here. Okay, good. Maybe it will stay put. All right. So because these interventions are upstream, they really demanded surveillance data that were really non-traditional. It's not like BMI, the sorts of things that I was accustomed to looking for. And based on that, let me tell you a little more. This program was called the State Health Improvement Program, and that the things that meant these surveillance sources were different were based on some of the interventions that were part of it. Some of them I know are part of communities putting prevention to work, national plans through CDC, but some of their names are safe routes to school programs, active communities, those are in the realm of physical activity, and then there's a farm to school program that's trying to encourage fresh produce to be delivered by local farmers to local school districts for school lunches. And then other things that would address availability of fruits and vegetables in areas that are find themselves in what many would call food deserts. So these are really sort of outside the realm of my earlier experience as an epidemiologist and quite a new thing for Minnesota. Exciting, but caused me this fundamental question, and it's this. Where do I look for information like this? And then I get this great email from our program advisor from CDC telling me about the catalog that we're all discussing, and that it offered a great variety of data sources, filtering that Robin so handily demonstrated for us, and those great comparison features. And when I first looked at all that and what I saw, this is what I thought. Wow, what a great resource. So, just to give you an example of how I did some of the filtering and used some of those things to investigate some new data sources, let me just give a brief summary of what I did based on the steps that you saw Robin demonstrate for us. So, I chose to do physical activity, and this thing is changing back on me, and I'm not quite sure why. So I clicked on physical activity, state, school-age children, and of the data sources that I got, let's see, could I just check and find out from people, what slide are you seeing at the moment?
Sure.
Now we're on example physical activity.
Okay. Is someone else advancing these for me because I'm being able to do it for myself now?
How about I just keep doing it, so just in case.
Okay. Okay. So just so long as I know where we are. Okay. And of the seven data sources that I got up, I did the comparison feature and looked at BRFSS, NSAF, the National Child Health Survey, and the School Health Policies and Practice Study. And when I looked at those four, comparing them to the data sources they already follow, I decided that these last two, the National Survey of Children's Health and School Health Policies and Practices Study, really could add to the information that I present for my program. So, Robin, could I have the next slide, please?
So that it's showing National Survey of Children's Health, NCHS.
Okay. Well, it's not showing that here, so I'll wait for it to catch up. Okay. So for those, the different data sources, or the individual thing, the bits of data that data source presents, breastfeeding, screen time for children, and neighborhood amenities were of value to me. We definitely now follow breastfeeding as a preventive measure in terms of obesity at the childhood level from ages, birth to five. We actually have a state initiative starting here to promote reduced screen time for children, and this seems like it could be a really valuable data source to track that and establish baselines. And the neighborhood amenities variable in this data source talks about the availability of parks and other venues for physical activity. So those were all great finds. I mentioned there below that my next steps are to evaluate the sources for these data points. And I should point out when I say evaluate, I want to sort of follow them back to their original sources to make sure, for example, that the breastfeeding data that's presented there is not a duplication of what I already present through CDC sources, including the National Immunization Survey and PEDNAS, and that either way it will be an advantage for me, I'm sure, to use the data provided there. And so the next data source that I looked at was the School Health Policies and Practices Study. Is that the slide that everyone's looking at now?
It should be, yes.
Great, okay. So I saw that under this study there was actually state-level data and a report card for Minnesota, and among the things in that report card that stood out as things that I didn't have in the area, the state report, were physical education and activity and what types of policies are in place in Minnesota and how we could follow those, and nutrition services practiced in schools. And now this particular study, it's the dates that it is done happen to be 6-year intervals, and in this case it will nicely bracket the interventions that we've been working on. The data now available is for 2006, so this is all pre-interventions through our state health improvement program. The next time it will be done will be 2012, and that will actually be an excellent midpoint in the implementation of our state program. So, as I say below, next steps is to compare the data provided to state initiatives. I think it's going to be very exciting, the potential there and the ability for us to actually have data to go with some of the interventions that we're doing. So now, I certainly am willing to take questions. I'm not sure quite how our time is going at this point, but if there is time right now, I can handle questions. Otherwise, I can wait till the end.
Well, thank you very much, David. I think we'll hold questions to the end. We're running a little bit behind schedule, and we do want to hear from our next speaker, Jamie Shariki. So, Jamie, if you're ready, we'll start with you. She's going to talk with, on the research perspective, the multi-level research.
Thanks, Sue, very much. I'm about to click my slide to the next slide, so please let me know if you see it. Do you see it, the ecological model?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm just going to go back for 1 second. thanks for having me here today, and it's a real honor having lived and breathed the development of the catalog and of surveillance systems. It's really wonderful to see this in action. I, as a researcher, intend to make a tremendous amount of use of the catalog. So Robin and Sue asked me to speak today about how I might go about using the catalog for research purposes, particularly for multi-level research purposes. And as Robin alluded to, increasingly, particularly in the childhood obesity field, many of the studies that are currently being conducted or being proposed by multiple funders are multi-level studies that involve an ecological approach, looking at the impact, for example, of state and national policies, local and community level practices and policies, school level policies, and ultimately what's the impact on individuals and households. And so this version of the ecological model is slightly different than Robin's. This is sort of one that we use here at Bridging the Gap to illustrate the types of data that we compile and analyze for our project. But for purposes of today's presentation, I want to focus on two different aspects of this ecological model, which is particularly the state laws related to school-based nutrition and physical activity, as well as school policies and practices. And I neglected to circle the BMI part there, but you'll see in a minute why these are of interest to me. So the research question that I proposed to examine for today's illustration was whether or not state school-based nutrition-related laws influence nutrition-related policies and practices in U.S. schools and ultimately student BMI. To do this analysis, I decided to go into the catalog and I did a search on macro level policy, and as you can see here, it picked out 8 different systems, and it shows those 8 here. And of those 8, 2 seem to be particularly of interest to me, the school health policies and program study and the school nutrition environment state policy classification system. David spoke a little bit about SHIPS in his presentation. The other ones seem of interest, but they don't seem to get at the level of state policy data that I might be interested in. So initially, I picked those 2 systems. And as you can see here, as Robin illustrated, once I select 2 systems, it goes to compare the systems. So if I go to the compare screen, you'll see here that I get this nice table that illustrates the different elements included in each system. Robin illustrated this as well. For purposes of today, I'm interested in whether or not they have macro level policy data at the state level, which they both do. I was also interested in whether or not in the state, I was also interested in whether or not they had diet related information, which they both do. So apples to apples, they seem like they both will have information that would be of interest to me. For purposes of today's illustration, because time is short, I'm just going to go with the school nutrition environment state policy classification system because I actually was involved in helping to develop that system too and know that one sort of inside and out, so I thought it would be easiest for today's illustration. So if I then go to the page for the school nutrition environment state policy classification system, this is that sort of home page that Robin illustrated for you earlier. I get all the information I'm interested in to tell me a little bit about the system. And if I scroll through and I go to sampling, for example, I see here that this has a census of state laws. It's got all states included, including DC. It tells me what type of data are in here. In this case, it's coded data related to state statutory and administrative laws. And it gives me data on laws effective as of December 31st for each year. So it's not a sample. It's a census of all state laws. If I'm interested in looking at the variables that are in the data set, it brings me to the key variables page, and this is a list of the variables that are included in there. And what's important for me, because I'm interested in doing a multi-level analysis, I want to make sure that it has linkage variables that will enable me to link the state law data with the other data sets ultimately that I'm going to link with. So I see here that it's got the state federal information processing standards codes, which are unique codes developed by the National Institute for Standards and Technology that every state is assigned. All counties and municipalities are assigned them too, but for today's illustration, state codes that will enable me a link, and then also the year data I can link on. Additionally, the key variables page tells me about the content areas included in the system, including the key nutrition related policy variables that I might be interested in. For today's illustration, I'm just going to pick out nutrition education and competitive foods. So the next step is to identify a system that contains the school level data that I might be able to link to my state law data. So I go back to the catalog and I select school, and there you can see it picked out 6 different systems that might be of interest. And here it again gives me the school health policies and program study. As David mentioned, it's conducted every 6 years. SHIPS actually goes to 3 levels. It goes at the state level, the district level, and the school level. It gives me the school health profiles, also from CDC, and it gives me the USDA-sponsored school nutrition dietary assessment study. Those 3 seem to most relate to what I'm interested in just by virtue of their titles. And so again, it gives me the comparison, and if I click on the compare the 3 systems, it takes me to the comparison page. And as you can see here, CINDA is the only one of the 3 I selected with individual data. Now, if you recall my original research question, it was looking at the relationship between state laws, school practices, and student-level BMI. So the individual data is very important for me with regards to the BMI aspect. Importantly, CINDA also contains the weight-related data, which is critical for the BMI piece of it. All 3 systems, of course, have diet-related data as well. So I'm going to pick CINDA for purposes of this illustration, and again, I get to that homepage for CINDA, and if I click on the key variables tab, it takes me to the list of variables as Robin illustrated to you before. And if I scroll to the next page of the key variables tab, you'll see in here there's data in there about food consumption during the day, and information about consumption of meals and competitive foods. In addition, it has data on school food policies or practices, and most importantly, it's got measured height and weight. How often, for those of us who are researchers, do we find a database that actually has measured height and weight as opposed to self-reported? This is a wonderful resource. In terms of those geocodes that I mentioned, which are critical for linkage purposes, CINDA contains geocodes at the city or metropolitan statistical area. So working with GIS specialists and others, statisticians and things like that, we could code the city and metropolitan statistical area geocodes up to the state level. So we could link the city and metropolitan statistical area data to state level data. So then I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've got these 2 great databases. I have the state law database and I have the school policies and practice database. So now, are there any other data I might be able to link in here that might give me some more contextual information about the schools or about the community where the schools are located or about the states themselves? So I'm interested in adding possibly other data. So what might I be able to do there? So I went back to the catalog and I selected school again, and you might recall from earlier there was this one database called the National Center for Educational Statistics Common Core of Data. And so if I go to look at that page, I see there that it's got lots of data at the state level, at the metropolitan statistical area, which is one of the geocodes available for the CINDA data set, you might recall. And most importantly, it has a tremendous amount of information that might provide interesting contextual information for any research analyses I might be interested in doing. So ultimately, I ended up picking 3 databases, which seem to provide me on the surface with all the data that I'm interested in. And I'm able to link them ultimately once I go to do the hard work of actually doing the linkages using FIPS codes at the state level and the city or MSA levels. Here's a series of questions that I might explore with the data sets that I've selected. So So, for example, at the state, if I was interested just at the state level, I could use the School Nutrition Environment State Policy Classification System to look at what are the state competitive food and beverage requirements. If I use CINDA alone, I could look at what are types of foods that are sold or served and where are they sold or served. If I just wanted to know about BMI, I might be interested in whether or not BMI varies based on the state laws or the school practices. And I could add in a variety of controls. I neglected to put here, of course, the multi-level questions about linking the school and state level data, but of course you can see where I'm going with this. Okay, so the good news. The good news is what used to be the hard part of actually locating the data sources has now been taken care of thanks to this wonderful catalog, and I say wonderful regardless of whether I was involved or not. It's wonderful. But the bad news is it's only a starting point for your research. So now the hard part begins, and you can use the surveillance catalog to link to the respective data sources that might be of interest to you. But if you're not familiar with conducting multi-level analyses or linking data sets, I would strongly encourage you to consult a statistician or other researchers with appropriate expertise in doing multi-level research and analysis, or even helping you just to wade through the nuances of each of these databases. You know, the catalog gives you a really wonderful snapshot about each database, but the ins and outs and the intricacies of working with them are totally different. And so I strongly encourage you to affiliate yourself with people who are familiar with working with those databases, or hiring a wonderful doctoral student to spend a lot of time learning the ins and outs for you. So, in closing, I wish you a lot of luck, have a lot of fun, and make good use of the database of the system. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jamie, and all of our speakers today. I think that we've now had a good overview, and the attendees can have an idea of what the catalog can provide to them. And with the very practical demonstrations by David and Jamie, an idea of how they might use the catalog for their various purposes, whether they're a practitioner in a health department or a researcher of one sort or another. At this time, we have about 10 minutes left, and we could entertain some questions. If any have any questions, please just let us know if you do, and we can speak to those. During the first speaker's discussion, we did have a few questions come in, some sort of general ones. One was whether or not the slides would be available, and yes, we will be able to post the slides from each of the speakers as PDFs on the NCORE website, so you can look for that soon. We'll have those there. And another question that came in was, how would we be keeping the information up to date in the catalog, and how would users know that they have the latest information? We will be updating the catalog periodically. We're developing our plans now for how we will be doing that, and exactly with what periodicity we'll be doing that. But I imagine it's something that we'll, and while we'll try to keep up with it regularly, it's something that we're probably going to batch a couple of times a year. This is not going to be, it's not going to keep pace with all the system's own websites. Obviously, any one of the systems could be updating their website in between our checking, and we wouldn't necessarily know about that. So that would be just another reason to always be checking with the original website for each system for getting further details about the system. So it just gives us an opportunity to reiterate the point that Robin made, that that this catalog is designed to help with the one-stop shopping, give a standardized format for looking across multiple systems and choosing systems, but it does not necessarily provide complete information, all the information that you would find on each system's own website, and we'll try to keep it as up to date as we can with regular checking, but if a system has updated their website in between our checks, then that's going to be the most complete information. But I think that it will be up to date sufficiently to allow you to choose from one system to another.
If I could just add something in there, that we will be able to, if there's something very small that comes through, if there's a new paper that people see that they think should be added as a resource, or another tool that you would like to highlight, that we have a great deal of flexibility and can very easily update small things on the catalog and small pieces of information. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing that as often as possible. And also you can see at the bottom of every page in the catalog, it says the profile last modified and it has a date. So you can see there when that page, each profile, when that was last updated.
Mm-hmm.
So that should give you an indication also.
Right. And so as Robin was saying, we can make these easy updates. So again, to another point that she made, please take advantage of the feedback page. And if you are aware of some update or want to alert us to something that you think should be included in the catalog, then please let us know that way. We'll see, maybe scroll down there. We can see if there are other questions, please send them to us. Okay, so someone has a question here for Jamie. They've asked, what did Jamie learn? If time, does she have any preliminary results? I'd like to address that?
Sure. Well, you're not going to be happy with the answer, and I think it was Ellen who asked the question. I actually just used this as literally an example for this presentation. I haven't actually linked those three data sets together, but I think it would be great for someone to do that. We're doing a lot of other multi-level analysis here. I just happen to have not used those three databases together yet. So I'm sorry, Ellen, I couldn't actually give you preliminary results right now.
Okay. Someone else is asking, for the government databases, would the agency conducting the research be able to provide some of the detail that Jamie spoke to? Jamie, do you want to?
Sure. What I was referring to in my presentation and what I think Alicia's getting at here is where I had suggested, you know, really working, affiliating yourself with somebody who knows the ins and outs of the various databases. I think in some cases, you know, the government will have lots of documentation on their website and things like that. But Alicia, as you know, and many other people on the webinar know, it's not until you really get down and deep working with the data that you really start to learn all the nuances of working with it. So I think starting with the home sites for the actual databases, as Sue and Robin indicated, is a great starting point, and it will give you the documentation you need. But the real experience in working with it for analytic purposes, for running the research study you might be interested in, I'm not sure how far the government will be able to go in helping you. I don't know if Robin or Sue, you want to chime in there.
Don't have anything else to add to that. Here's another question. How often will the catalog be updated with new data sets, and how will these data sets be identified? Would you like to address that, Robin?
Sure. So we're because it's web-based, it really the catalog really has a lot of advantages over like a published or a hard copy catalog. And so as soon as we develop new profiles that have been reviewed by experts, as each of the existing profiles were, then we'll just put them up online. And we have several that are in development right now. We should start to see some new data sets from, there's a new system from the USDA that we're working on just right this very minute. And so we will probably, I expect we may have something on the homepage that says recent news or something like that to highlight that. We'll probably send out tweets also or some mm-hmm. other method to alert mm-hmm. folks. And actually, this just maybe raises something of interest that we could think about, some kind of method to, like a listserv or something mm-hmm. like that, if people wanted to sign up, and if there were new systems, as soon as they come online, then we will send out information to say that mm-hmm. a new system has been added or, you know, another significant, we wouldn't be sending information every day. But if there was a significant update, we would send information out to folks. But that, I think, that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're looking to see if we have some additional questions. Does the current classification system currently distinguish between individual-level data that are collected via food diary or physical activity diary versus retrospective recall? So I think that I think that the information on diet and physical activity is whether it's self-reported or whether, you know, with physical activity, if it's measured objectively via an accelerometer or something like that. And with the reports of diet, it would say food recall or food frequency questionnaire. It makes that type of distinction. I don't know that offhand, I'm not thinking of any that have retrospective recall, like in the distant past anyway. And so I'm not sure whether there is a designation for that. I can't think of an example where we have in the distant past. Can you, Robin?
I don't. I can only recall that we differentiated between self-report and objectively measured data, like from accelerometer. But again, we're so hopefully with the catalog, that would at least you would have found systems that you think might be of interest, and then it would be up to the researcher or practitioner or the user to go in and really delve into the nitty-gritty details, if you like, of the individual system. So we're doing as much as we possibly can, but we also didn't want to create a huge burden that would probably be unwieldy to keep updated. So we have to rely on users and their individual needs as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Someone's asking, can I look at data by county? And you can look at data by county for those data that have that as a variable. You could look under key variables and see whether or not county-level information is obtained, and then you would be able to do that. The way the question is worded it gives me an opportunity to just reiterate that the catalog includes data systems that have downloadable data or raw data that can be used by researchers, examined by researchers. So they by and large, are not systems that would necessarily include summary statistics. Some of them might, but that wouldn't have been a criteria for inclusion in the catalog. So it's not like you could go to this and see summarized data by the county necessarily, but you could analyze it by the county if the county level is a variable on that. Okay, we might have time for one more question. Pushing information out to us is key, someone says, so we'll make sure that we use some of those systems that Robin talked about for getting information to you about whether we have some new systems. Are the standardization methods used in the collection data collection available for the measured variables, height and weight for BMI? Let's see, are the standardization methods used available for the measured variables? The catalog is not going to say that. It won't provide that level of detail. It will say if it's measured height and weight. And then again, it would be incumbent on the researcher to go to the original site and the site for the original system and get those further details and documentation. I think that's the end of our questions, and it's the end of our time. So thank you all for joining us, and I hope that this was useful and informative for you.
Thanks, everybody.